Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about New Atlantis, a novel written by an Elizabethan philosopher called Francis Bacon, who's born in 1561, died in 1624, if I can remember correctly. And I'm just, in this podcast, it's very important that we examine this, because in this he lays out in a way that's an accessible way his plan for scientific institutions. He was sort of the kick philosopher, the philosopher who really got down into the mechanics of the scientific method, which I'll talk about a bit later. It's very important. It's also very important that he talks about a southern land in the Pacific Ocean, which is the New Atlantis, and its location, although I think he's assumed it's much closer to South America, it is indeed not that close. It is, in fact, Australia. So Australia really is the New Atlantis when you read it. So he describes its location, and if you stretch it a little bit, you can think it's Australia, but it's a sort of a complex thing, and one of the things is he's an Elizabethan author. So Elizabethan words, when put in plays, are beautiful to listen to, but it becomes very hard to read and work through his actual work. But I'll see if I can have a go at reading the New Atlantis to you. But this is a Wikipedia article on this topic, and we'll talk about it. It's got so much of an air to it, and it's such a fantastic book, and it's just go through the title page of the 1628 edition, which is a picture here. 2 years after his death, the author Francis Bacon, country United Kingdom, language Latin/English, genre utopian novel, and publication date on his death, and later on after 2 years after his death. Or a year after and 3 years after. So let's read this, and just a reminder that I am doing this as cardiac rehab. I've spent the day tracking down, just trying to just guide the podcasting engine across to taking multiple podcasts and synthesizing them together. Sounds a strange thing, but I have had to do that very carefully, because sort of things can happen, errors, and it's hard to tell whether an error relates to other things. So I noticed that people overseas are clicking, have broken through my sort of got deeper into the blogs and stuff like that, and are picking up on the and looking at my tests as I put them up, and they're really nothing. They're just me saying test, 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 and linking that together several times iteratively, and just testing everything works. That's been a slow thing, and there's an error, annoying error, of a blank space being put at the end of short MP4 files. I have to have a look at how this goes. The MP4 file is basically for uploading for YouTube and for playing in other browsers, if you want to go through. Okay, let's read this. New Atlantis is the incomplete utopian novel of Sir Francis Bacon. So utopia is a mythical land, which is just much better than we are nowadays. And so it sort of like removes the irritations. Published in 1627, but its publication date, according to here, is 1624-26. In this work, Bacon portrayed a vision of a future human discovery of knowledge, expressing his aspiration and ideals for humankind. The novel depicts the creation of a utopian land where, quote, generosity and enlightenment, dignity and splendor, piety and public spirit are commonly held qualities of the inhabitants of the mythical Ben Salem. That's his island, which is located geographically with a bit of a throw towards Australia. Now, it's really interesting that people resort to science fiction. It's basically an early science fiction novel. It is a fiction, and it is science. I'd say this is the world's first science fiction novel. That's my claim. I'm sticking to it. You've heard it first in a cardiac rehab podcast. It is true. But you also have other fictional displays by Galileo, and the scientists have resorted to plays and fictions as a way to get ideas across. It's interesting that Galileo got unstuck by his play, not his actual thoughts. The plan and organization of his ideal college, Solomon's House, envisioned the modern research university in both applied and pure sciences. Okay, so this is like pure science fiction. So as Clark envisioned the satellite, and so it came to be, this has come to be. Now, I'm reading this Wikipedia page because certain things you read are better read. And the Wikipedia page is good. I'm telling you it's Wikipedia, but I think it's relatively good. Plot summary. The novel depicts a mythical island, Ben Salem, which is discovered by a crew of a European ship after they're lost in the Pacific Ocean somewhere west of Peru, i.e. Australia. The mineral plot serves as a gradual unfolding of the island, its customs, but most importantly, its state-sponsored scientific institution, Solomon's House, which house or college is the very eye of the kingdom. Now, scientists, this is important. So for us, it would be CSIRO. Now, Salem's House of CSIRO. Many aspects of the society and the history of the island are described, such as the Christian religion, which is reportedly to have been born there as a copy of the Bible and a letter from the Apostle St. Bartholomew arrived there miraculously, a few years after the ascension of Jesus. A cultural feast in honour of the family institution called the Feast of the Family. A college of sages, Salem's House, the very eye of the kingdom, in order to which order God of heaven and earth has vouchsafed the grace to know the works of creation and the secrets of them, as well as, quote, to discern between divine miracle, works of nature, works of arts, and impostures and illusions of all sorts. I.e., this is sort of like a Christian science place. Now, I'll read the end of this. A series of instruments, processes, and methods of scientific research that were employed in the island's Solomon's House. So it is a science fiction story like none other, and obviously at the time of Shakespeare. I think Shakespeare and works have been put out about this time. What is important is that in the Baconian view, and it may come across here, that he feels that we've fallen, other people have stuffed up, we've fallen down as a race. Science is sort of like a natural leadership to make our lot after the fall, that's Adam's sin, more livable. Now let's listen. The interlocutors, or you have to listen, yeah, let me read. The interlocutors include the governor of the House of Strangers, Joan the Jew, and the head of Solomon's House. That means the actual actors. The inhabitants of Ben Salem are described as having a high moral character and honesty. No official accepting of any payment for individuals, and people being described as chaste and pious, as said by an inhabitant of the island, and this is a quote. So this is so important because this myth is actually put into the myth of the scientist. Like a scientist is invented by a poet and a pastor in around 1836. It's sort of a jest, and they invent the idea of a science. It's just an infused Christian pious values. The things I want to make a point is that a scientist not taking money is Aristotle. Aristotle refused to take money from Alexander the Great, so he sent heaps of scientific research things. This is a quote. But hear me now, and I will tell you what I know. You shall understand that there is not under the heavens so chaste a nation as this of Ben Salem, nor so free of all pollution or foulness. It is the Virgin of the world. Perhaps you could call it Australia. Not likely. I remember I have read in one of your European books of the holy hermit amongst you that desired to see the spirit of fornication. And there appeared to him a little foul, ugly athlop. But if he had desired to see the spirit of chastity of Bethlehem, it would have appeared to him in the likeness of a fair, beautiful cherubim. For there is nothing amongst mortal men more fair and admirable than the chaste minds of these people. You know, therefore, that with them there are no stews, no absolute, no dissolute houses, no courtesans, nor anything of the kind. Now, what I really have to say is, it's sort of pretty in your face, but it is a novel. He can actually express what he says, say what he wants to say. But he was really describing the Elizabethan court, which was sex and sleaze and just insanity. So I think that the Elizabethan court actually begat its antithesis, which is scientific thought. In the last third of the book, the head of Solomon's house takes one of the European visitors. No, I should also say, they send out ships to the rest of the world to get in information. This is a beautiful idea, so that's how they know what's happening in Europe. Visitors to show him all the scientific background of Solomon's house, where experiments are conducted in the Baconian method, that is, inductively, to understand and conquer nature, and to apply the collected knowledge to the betterment of society, which is the Baconian idea that scientists are here to make our lot on Earth better. Technology can save us, namely, the end of their foundation, the preparation they have for their works, the several employments and functions where through their fellows are assigned, and the ordinance and rites of which they observe. It's really interesting. He portrayed a vision of the future of human society and knowledge, the plan and organization of his ideal college, Solomon's House. Envisioned the modern research university in both applied and pure science. The end of their foundation is thus described. The end of our foundation is the knowledge of causes, the secret motion of things, and enlarging the bounds of the human empire to the effecting of all things possible. Isn't that beautiful? Beautifully read. We're going into space. This is Solomon's house, obviously would have approved Elon Musk going to Mars. In describing several employments and functions to which the members of Solomon's house are assigned, the head of college said, now, this is your reciprocal research organisations, you've got the marketing librarians, you've got your research scientists, you've got your support people, let's see what they say. I haven't read this ahead. For the several employments and offices of our fellows, we have 12 that sail to foreign countries under the names of other nations, for our own we conceal, to bring us books and abstracts and patterns of experience of other parts. These call the merchants of light. I don't know whether that could be the internet or could be research. We have 3 that collect experiments, which are in all books. We call them depreciators. We have 3 that collect experiments of all mechanical arts and liberal sciences, and also practices that are not brought into the arts. We call them mystery men. These we call mystery men. We have 3 that try new experiments, such as themselves think good. We call them pioneers or miners. We have, which is your research scientists, your pure research science. We have 3 that draw experiments from former 4 into titles and tables to give a better light for the drawing of observation and axiom out of them. We call them compilers. We have 3 that bend themselves looking into experiments of their fellows and cast out how to draw out of them things of use and practice for man's life and knowledge, as well as for works, as for plain demonstration of causes, means of natural divination, and easy and clear discovery by virtues of parts of bodies. These we call dowry men or benefactors. There are diverse meetings and consults of our whole number to consider the former labours and collections. We have three that care out of them to direct new experiments of higher light, more penetrating in nature than the former. We call labs. We have three others who do execute experiments as so directed and report to them. We call them inoculators. Last, we have three that raise the former discoveries by experiments into great observation axioms and aphorisms. We call them the interpreters of nature. Even this short excerpt demonstrates that Bacon understood that science requires analysis, not just the accumulation of observation. Bacon also foresaw that the design of experiments could be improved. What a fantastic book. In describing the ordinances and rites observed by scientists, Solomon House, its head said, look, I can see, you know, fantastic movie of this, where it comes off and they're all, g'day, Bruce, dreadful Australians doing this. We have certain hymns and services, which we say daily, of the Lord and thanks to God for his marvellous works, and forms of prayer imploring his aid and blessing in the illumination of our labour and turning them into goods and holy uses. And finally, after showing all the scientific backgrounds of Solomon's House, he gave European visitors permission to publish it. Now, this is case, because I'm sure nowadays we'd have, like, The Incredibles, the island has to blow up at the end, it has to be a volcano. And when he had this, he stood up, and I, as I had been taught, kneeled down and laid his right hand upon my head, and he said, God bless thee, my son, and God bless this relation which I have made. I give thee leave to publish it for the good of the other nations, for here in God's bosoms a land unknown. Go Australia. The name Bethlehem. This is going in. So that's the thickness of plot. That's sort of like a, that's not a really a runner. You really want James Bond going around and the time and going down and the whole thing. Someone villain striking a cat and the evil happening. Unfortunately, this sort of happens. This would be the most boring sailor. Ben Salem. This is composed of two Hebrew words. Ben, son, and Salem, or Shalem, whole, complete. The name could be interpreted as the son of wholeness. Neuronatus is a story dense with provocative details. There are many credible interpretations of what Bacon is attempting to convey. Below are a couple that give some sense to the rich implication of this text. Isn't that beautiful? That, you know, this is not where it is. You've got to take it on many, many levels. And this is the beauty of fiction. Ben Salem's conversion to Christianity. Early in the story, the governor of the House of Strangers, Foreign Affairs, relates the incredible circumstances that introduced Christianity to the island. This is a pretty big quote for the book. About 20 years after the ascension of the Saviour came, and that's right, God went up to heaven on a rocket ship. It came to pass around AD 50 that there was seen by the people of Resna, a city upon the eastern coast of the island, within sight the night was cloudy and calm. Within sight the night was cloudy and calm. Okay. As might become a mile in the sea, a great pillar of light, and not sharp, but in the form of a column or cylinder rising from the sea, a great way towards heaven. And on top of it was seen a large cross of light, more bright and resplendent than the body of the pillar. Upon it, so strange a spectacle, the people of the city gathered and placed it upon the sands to wonder, and so put themselves into a number of small boats to go nearer to this marvellous sight. But when the boats were come within about 60 yards of the pillar, they found themselves all bound and could not go further. Yet, as the light, as they might, but might not approach nearer. So the boats stood all as in a theatre, beholding the light as a heavenly sign, and so fell out that there was in one of the boats, or one of the wise men of the Society of Solomon's House, which house or college by good brethren is the very eye of this kingdom, who, having a while attentively and devoutly viewed the contemplated pillar and cross, fell down upon his face, and raised him upon his knees, and lifting up his hand to heaven, made the prayer in this manner. So this is a quote within a quote. Lord God of heaven and earth, thou art vouchsafed of thy grace to those of our order to know thy works of creation, the true secrets of them, and to discern as far as appareth the generations of men between divine miracles, works of nature, works of arts, and impostures and illusions of all thoughts. So this is actually a science. I do here acknowledge and testify before this people the thing we now see before both our eyes is thy finger and a true miracle. As foremost, we learn in our books that thou never workest miracles, but to a divine and excellent end. The law of natures are thy own laws, and thou exceedest them not, but upon greatest cause. What a fantastic, I mean, this is a Christian scientist all the way. We most humbly beseech thee to prosper this great sign, and give us the interpretation and use it in mercy, which thou dost in some part secretly promise by sending it to us. Okay, so God's actually broken into the natural world. Here it goes. This is a good section of the book, isn't it? When he had made his prayer, he presently found the boat he was in movable and unbound, whereas all the rest remained fast. And taking assurances to leave and approach, he caused the boat to be softly and with silently rowed towards the pillar. And ere he came near it, the pillar and the cross of light broke up, and cast itself abroad, as it were, into a filament of many stars, which also vanished soon after. And there was nothing left to be seen but a small ark, or chest of cedar, dry and not wet at all with water, though it swam in the fore end of it, and which is towards him grew a small green branch of palm. And when the wise man had taken it, with all reverence to his boat, he opened itself, and there he found a book and a letter, both written in fine parchment and wrapped in seidens of linen. The book contains all canonical books of the Old and New Testament, according to you have them, but we know well that the churches with you receive the Apocalypse itself and some other books of the New Testament, which were not at that time written, were never listed in the book. And for the letter, it was the words and satisfaction. He shot in the church. I, Bartholomew, the servant of the highest, an apostle of Jesus Christ, as warned by an angel that appeared to me in a vision of glory, I should commit to this ark to the floods of the sea. Therefore, I do testify and declare unto the people of God shall ordain this ark to come to land, and the same day is unto the salvation of peace, the goodwill of the Father and for the Lord Jesus. This is sort of like Church of Scientology guff, isn't it? Yeah. But unfortunately, he was a work of fiction. There was also in both these writings, as well as a book as a letter, without a Watergate miracle, conformed to that of the apostles in the original gift of tongues, for there being at that time in this land Hebrews, Persians, Indians, and besides the natives, everyone read upon the book and letters, what? As they had been written in his own language. This is sort of like science, the science of maths, I'd say. And thus was this land saved from infidelity, as the remain of the old world was from the water by the ark, though through the apostolical and miraculous evangelism of Saint Bartholomew. Good on ya, Bart. And here he paused, and a messenger came and called him forth from us. So this is all that passed in that conference. Isn't that fiction? Just, you know, yes, people argue, and a fiction work can take you over. The traditional date of the writing of St. John's Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, was at the end of the 1st century AD. It is not only the presence of the full canon of the sutra long before it was completed and compiled, but it was also the all too convenient proximity of the scientists who will attest to the miraculous nature of this wonder that lends the story an air of incredibility. I don't quite understand it. So this is incredible, but the people inside feel incredible. So, okay, what? It's obviously incredible. Why would it be incredible further? Later, the father of Solomon's house revealed the institution still at creating the illusion of light. We represent also all modifications of light which we carry to great distance and makes so sharp as to discern small points and lines. Also, all colorations of light, all delusions and deceits of sight in figures, magnitudes, motions, colors, all demonstrations, etc. We find also diverse means yet unknown to you of producing light originally from diverse bodies. Is this not a premonition of laser physics? You heard it first in a laser physicist reads. I am actually a laser physicist. In quantum physics, I've done built a lot of lasers. I think this has to be a reference to laser physics. He also boasts about their ability to fake miracles. Surely, you will easily believe that we, that have so many things truly natural, will induce admiration. We could, in a world of particulars, deceive the senses as if we would disguise those things and labour to make them more miraculous. And this is the entire thing about marketing, designs of equipment. You've got to get that miraculous feel. The door has to slowly close, very slowly, so a miraculous hand is closing it in a door, or the automatic doors and stuff like that is giving the feeling of angels moving things. So like an ancient person working through doors that's automatically open. They don't necessarily have to be open all the time in shopping centres, or the doors of a car don't have to go and just sort of ease close. It is, you know, for me, I think automation is part of creating a miraculous feel. Reneker points out the Latin of the second passage is stronger and literally translates. We could impose on men's senses an infinite number of things if we wanted to present these things and exalt them into a miracle. That is, well, I would say nowadays, the electromagnetic pulses, which gives a sense of miracle in your head. The skill of creating illusions, coupled with the incredulity of the story of the origin of Ben Salem's Christianity, make it seem that Bacon is imitating that the light show, or at least the story of its occurrence, was the invention of Solomon's. Yeah, so that's quite a subtle thing. And I think that's our responsibility as scientists, not to baffle people with science. The presence of Hebrews, Persians, and Indians in Salem at the time implies Asian peoples were already in the first century engaged in sailing across the Pacific, which is historically incorrect, but might have seemed plausible at the time of writing. Yeah, but he's really talking about Australia, mate. Who rules Ben Salem? The Aussies do. The father of Solomon's house reveals that the members of the institution decide on their own which of their discoveries to keep secret, even from the state. Quote, and this we do also. We have consultations with of the inventions and experiences which we have discovered shall be published, and which shall not, and take all on oath of secrecy of concealing of those which think fit to keep secret, though some of those do not reveal sometime to the state and some not. Well, I would say probably biological warfare and things like that. Oh, stem cell research, you know, we decide not to, well, it's more complicated, we decide ethically not to do things. And for me, yeah, there's areas of research I've thought ethically, nah, I'm not. I can see where that's going, I'm just not going to go there. This would seem to imply the state does not hold a monopoly on the authority of Solomon's house, must in some sense be superior to the state. And indeed, that is true. Well, I would say that scientific institutions, by being able to analyze and have their own intelligence analysis, are actually one step ahead of the state. Okay, in the introduction, to the critical edition of New Atlantis, Jerry Weinberger notes, whoever he is, that Jobin is the only contemporary character living at the time of the story described as wise, and wise in matters of government and rule. At that, Weinberg speculates that Jobin may be the actual ruler of Ben Salem. On the other hand, prejudice against Jews was widespread as his time, so possibly cannot be excluded that Bacon was calling Jobin wise for the same reason that he felt to need elsewhere call him the good Jew to make clear that Jobin's character was benign. Ah, dear. Social rituals of the Bethsalemites. While Bacon appears concerned with the House of Solomon, a portion of the narrative describes the social practice of the Ben Salemites, particularly those surrounding the courtship and family life. An example of the riches is the Adam... Oh, my God. And Eve pools. Here, the betrothed sends surrogates to observe the other bathing to discover any deformities. Ah, oh, this is testing. Here, Bacon alludes to Sir Thomas More's Utopia, where More describes, so Utopia is just only 10 years before, describes a similar ritual. However, the crucial difference is rather than surrogates, the young couples observe the others naked. Bacon's character of Jobin remarks on this difference. I've read in a book of one of your men of a feigned commonwealth, where the married couples are permitted before they contact to see one another naked, which is sort of an interesting thing. I would say, I'm thinking of technologists looking at your genome. Prayers. In describing how scientists of New Atlas work, Bacon wrote, quote, "We have certain hymns and services which we say daily of Lord and thanks to God for his marvelous work, and some forms of prayer imploring his aid and blessing for the illumination of our labours. Bless the holy electron gun experiment and turning them into good and holy uses." Mm-hmm. I think that's actually not bad. I think you should contemplate when you're making a building a high-powered experiment that it's used well. It's not a bad thing to do. In Bacon's theological tracts, there are two prayers named the Student's Prayer and the Writer's Prayer, which may be demonstrations of how scientists could pray as described in the New Atlantis. So something else was. Influences. The New Atlantis and other writings of Bacon inspired the formation of the Royal Society. Jonathan Swift parried them in Book 3 of Gulliver's Travels. In recent years, New Atlantis influenced B.F. Kinner's 1948 Walden Tomb. This novel may have been Bacon's vision for a utopian new world in North America. In it, he depicted a land where there would be freedom of religion, showing a Jew treated fairly and equally in the island of Christians. It has been argued that this work had influenced others' reforms such as greater rights for women, abolition of slavery, elimination of debtors' prison, separation of... You know, what I was going to say is it's not America. He was probably thinking of America, but it's really Australia. Australia. Church and state, obviously. And freedoms of political expression, although there is no hint of these reforms in the New Atlantis itself. His propositions of legal reforms, which are not established in his lifetime, though, are considered to have been one of the influences behind the Napoleonic Code, and therefore show some resemblance with or influence in the drafting of other liberal constitutions that came centuries after Bacon's time, such as the American Constitution. Ah, oh, wow. Francis Bacon played a leading role in creating English colonies, especially Virginia, Carolinas and Newfoundland in northeastern Canada. His government report, The Virginia Colony, was submitted in Why don't we get... I've read the entire book, and this is not at all pulled out. In 1609, in 1610, Bacon and his associate received a charter from the king to form the Treasure and Company of Adventurers and Planters in the city of London and Bristol for the colony and plantation of Newfoundland, and sent John Guy to found a colony there. In 1910, Newfoundland issued a postage stamp to commemorate Bacon's role in establishing the province. The stamp described Bacon as the guiding spirit of colonisation scheme in 1610. Moreover, some scholars believe he was largely responsible for drafting in 1609 and 1612 the two charters of government for the Virginia Colony. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States and author of the Declaration of Independence, wrote, "Bacon, Locke, Newton, I consider them as the three greatest men that had ever lived, without exception, and having laid the foundation for those superstructures which have been raised the physical and moral sciences." Okay. First attempt is America. America's stuffed up. Australia's going to take it away from you. It's hard to believe, but we're coming for you. Look in your rear-vision mirror, America. Historian and biographer William Hepworth Dixon considers Bacon's name could be included on the list of founders of the United States of America. It is also believed that the Rorschian organization, the Amoric, that Bacon would have influenced the settlement of mystics in North America, stating the New Atlantis inspired the colony of Rorschians led by Jonas Kepler to journey across the Atlantic Ocean in the chartered vessel called the Sarah Maria and move on to Pennsylvania in the late 17th century. According to their claims, the Rorschian communities made valuable contributions to the newly emerging American culture in fields of printing, philosophy, sciences, and arts. Utopian writer Carlos Baldoris adopted the name Atlanticus when he wrote Des something or other in 1898. Well, there you have it. That's just breathtaking. It's breathtaking, the founding of science. It's breathtaking in terms of, you know, what it means. Like, if we know, sort of strange look in America now with Trump taking the real crude ideas away. I wonder what Bacon would have thought of Donald. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.